So thank you very much once again for having invited us to this building here and giving us the possibility to have you as a partner in our project as well. So we're really glad to be here. We're really glad to start this project, CRESMOI Medical Information Analysis and Retrieval. I think the fact that we are here is also a little bit a symbol that we're not doing this for the technology's sake, but that we are really trying to approach the clinicians. We have use cases where we need the help of the clinicians, and I think that is a really important aspect of this project. And I just put some images here. The CRESMOI project is not only about images, actually only a small part is about images, but on the other hand, images symbolize very well the complexity of modern medicine. So for me, it is much easier to symbolize this with a few images than with something representing text. So much of the project will be evolving around information retrieval based on text. So this presentation will be given by Alan Hanbury, the scientific coordinator of the project, and me. And the goal of this short overview now is really to tell you why we're doing this work, why we have proposed this project, what exactly we would like to do within the CRESMOI project, how we want to achieve our goals. So we've promised quite a few things, and it's really, we need to make clear how we will reach this goal, for whom, who are our target partners. As I already said, we're here in a building of the Society for the Austrian Physicians, and I think this really is a symbol. And in the end, who will actually do the work? Because it's not me only standing here, but we have a whole consortium. We have 12 partners from 9 different countries, and we have many different domains that are combined in this project. For me, one of the main reasons when I thought about the why this project was a book called To Air Is Human. It's a book about a systematic analysis of medical errors in American hospitals. And although some of the consequences seem to be devastating, and an estimation of 100,000 people dying in hospitals because of preventable errors is quite a shocking number. And in the book, they do a very systematic analysis of what the problems are and what potential solutions are to help these problems. It's just to say that not everything is perfect, and I think we can always learn, and there are many things we can improve, and modern medicine is very information intensive, and many of the errors happen because of a misuse of this information. So that was really one of my main goals and when we started out the project, when I thought about what are the foundations. One of the topics that is mentioned with the potential to improve the health system is really expert systems that help interpret the data. It's not systems doing decisions or making decisions for someone, but just making the information available and helping to interpret the available data. And I was at the MedInfo, the World Congress of Medical Informatics in South Africa 4 weeks ago, and there were many presentations that underlined the need for what we've been doing. I've just mentioned two, for example, that even good English speakers very often are helped by multilingual information presentation, even if the translation is far from being perfect. And there was another paper of Harvard Medical School that showed that medical professionals rated the results of search engines, of the Health on the Net search engine. Health on the Net is one of the partners in our project, as being better than retrieval results of Google. Part of it is linked to Google rating blogs and wikis fairly high, which is not necessarily a quality for information. So if we look at the current situation, so why do we need what we plan to do in CRESMOI? We see that knowledge is really produced increasingly quickly. So the number of publications in the medical field, in bioinformatics and medical informatics, it's exploding. And not all clinicians have access to new information at the same speed. So although everybody's doing a continuing education, some new results might be published and it might take years before they really become mainstream practice. It is also clear that clinicians do seek for information very frequently. In an article of hers, it is mentioned that physicians who were interviewed have unmet information needs in 2 out of 3 patients they are seeing. So that's an important number. On the other hand, the main source for information seeking is a PubMed or Medline. And in that case, it often takes too long, because it was said that an average Medline search takes between 30 and 40 minutes, whereas a physician usually has about 5 minutes at his disposition. So there's a mismatch in between these technologies. And when we think about imaging, I showed 2 images in the very beginning, it is also clear that imaging exams can create an information overload, and the number of images produced is just enormous. And a third point about the current situation is really that we want empowered patients. I think nobody wants to go back to a patient who does not care about his disease. There are studies showing that patients who know about the illnesses cure quicker and have better chances for the outcome. But on the other hand, there's a term called cyberchondria, so people who search for, when they have a stomach ache, search on the web and found many things and then come to the clinician and say, oh, I need this medication because I know I have this disease. And this is creating other problems. So the question is really, can everybody access information of high quality, and how can we judge information that is available on the internet? This is just a random example with Google, where I search for cancer treatment, and very quickly you find herbal cancer therapy, and then how tarot cards can help you cure your cancer. And this is just one example. There are many other examples, and there can be different opinions about what is the right way to treat a certain disease, but I think there are some points where most people would agree that this is not the best way to go. And when we search on Google, and Google is, I think, the main entry point to the internet for most people, we need to take this into account. These are just some ideas of growth. This is from an article of the International Journal of Medical Informatics about publication in medical informatics, and we see it fits an exponential growth much, much better than a linear growth. And a very similar curve, this is the number of images produced in the radiology department of the University Hospitals of Geneva, and we can also see that the number of imaging exams, it's exploding. And much of it is, of course, due to imaging exams of PET-CT, functional imaging, where we have a very large number of images per patient. And then interpreting, analyzing the data, and searching for similar cases, for example, can become increasingly complex. So when we look at medical databases, they are extremely large. There are hundreds of terabytes of data available, much meta information, not only within clinical repositories, so closed repositories, but publicly available information, published information, knowledge bases, knowledge resources. There are teaching files that are made available where clinicians share cases, interesting abnormal cases on the web, for example. Open access publishing is expanding. Biomed Central is just one example. There are over 200 journals of Biomed Central now. Springer actually bought Biomed Central as the main publisher in the biomedical field. So there is a public pressure to make the knowledge publicly available, and then we also need not only to be available, but also we need mechanisms to access this information. There are also many knowledge bases, terminologies, ontologies such as UMLS, SNOMED that exist, and one such resource, the linked life data, is maintained by partners of the CRESMI project. So in this case, Ontotex is actually taking the lead, and I think there are now 5 billion or so facts in this data source. And I think when I talk to people about diagnosis aid, this is really how it is perceived very often. So people say that using a computer, using diagnosis aid, often puts a barrier in between them and the patient. And I think this is something that we really need to avoid, and that's why we really need to stress working on interfaces, working on integrating this information with clinical practice. And that's why we have the use cases in the CRESMI project, where we would really like to make tests and have this feedback loop where we feed information from the tests with clinicians back into the project. And now I give the word to Alan Hendel.
Okay, so Henning has explained why we need CRESMOI. So I'm going to now talk about what CRESMOI is planned to be. So there's a long list of things on this slide. So there are a number of key points. The first one is multilingual. So we want CRESMOI to be able to give information in many languages and also allow searching for information in many languages. The second word that's important is multimodal. So this means looking at many modalities, such as text and images. So, as Henning has said, there's a large amount of information available. So we want to get all of this information that's out there on the web and into the search engine that we're planning to create for Krasmoy. In addition to this, we're also planning to look for one of the use cases at really high dimensional radiology images. So I've listed there 2D, 3D, 4D images. These are things like MRI, CT, fMRI, and so on. There are a lot of search capabilities that have been developed and which we're planning to include in the Krasmoy engine. For example, natural language processing, categorization, information extraction, and so on. And finally, what is also important is that the results which come out of the Krasmoy search engine should be trustable, so they should be rated as being trustworthy, and they should be aimed at the user. So if there is a medical doctor using the Krasmoy search engine, he or she would expect a different level of results, so let's say more technical or more medical results, than a patient who is accessing the system who would like a more user-friendly, let's say, description of the information he or she is searching for. So this is a diagram of what we're planning to do. So in the middle, there is the Krasmoy search engine, and we want it to be able to take large amounts of information into account. So if you're looking around, you see, for example, images, books, websites, medical journals, the semantic data, so the collections of facts, as well as language resources to help the translation. And we will have an interface. And this interface will allow the end user to give in queries and questions, which the system will then process and should return the correct answers or information to these queries. So far, I've spoken about there are end users. Who are these end users? Well, we have very targeted end users in this project. So we've come up with three groups of end users. The first one is members of the general public. So let's say patients or people who are ill, who wish to find more information about the disease they have and potential ways of curing it. Then we have physicians, clinicians, medical doctors who, if they have, let's say, a difficult case, would like to be able to find information about that very easily. And finally, we have a very specialized group of end users. These are the radiologists. And there the problem is that they are faced with huge amounts of images, as Henning has already said, and we want to develop ways to allow them to go through these images much more efficiently. So we ignore the system for the moment and we focus on the end users. And we've divided these end users into two what we call use cases. So we have the first use case, which has the end user groups, general public and medical doctors. And this use case is called medical information for the European citizens and medical professionals. The second use case is aimed very much at the radiologists, so medical information for radiologists. Why have we divided the end users up into these two groups? The reason is that for the first use case, we are focusing very much on text search with some image search included, whereas for the radiologists, the focus is very much on these huge amounts of image data, but they want to bring in some text information to help out with the diagnosis. So here I will give very briefly some information on these two use cases which are in the project. Later there will be presentations which will go into much more detail on these use cases. So this is the first use case, the medical information for European citizens and medical professionals. Again, I have emphasized what is very important here, that the information which is found should be in the language of the person who's doing the searching. It should be at the level required by the person doing the searching, whether it's a medical professional or a member of the public. It should be trustworthy and reliable, and it should be easy to find. So it should be very efficient to be able to find the information which answers the question which you put into the system. In order to make the information easier to find, we also plan to look at innovative user interfaces, and in particular here, mobile user interfaces. So, for example, on the iPhone or iPad, so these are very useful, let's say, for medical doctors who are doing house visits to their patients if they need to access some information, but also in rural areas of countries in Africa, for example, where doctors have to travel around a lot and would like to have a useful and small source of information always with them. So in this use case, we have two end users. Now the roles of the end users are, we're first going to ask them, what do they need? And we're going to base what we do on what their requirements are. And at the end, these end users should also test the systems that we develop. So the end users for this use case are firstly the Health and Manette Foundation, which is a non-governmental foundation associated with the United Nations based in Geneva. So they already have on the web a medical information search engine, and which searches through websites which have been rated by Health and Manette as being trustworthy. The second end user in this use case is the Society of Physicians in Vienna, where we are here, and who will provide us with the point of view and the requirements of the medical doctors, and of course the tests of the system. The second use case is the radiology use case. So as I mentioned, this is very focused on images, so really big images. And the aim is to overcome the flood of images which is currently faced by radiologists. So, for example, hospitals have very large archives of radiology images. And if a new image is acquired, and maybe there's something that looks strange about it, then it would be very useful for a radiologist to be able to search through the archive at the hospital to find similar images and maybe get some ideas on the diagnosis to make from diagnoses which are already stored in the hospital archives. Alternatively, it could also be, or in addition, it could also be good to link to the literature. So to, once an image has been acquired, to find in the recent literature images which look similar and use those to help with the diagnosis. Again, here we are going to focus on the innovative user interfaces. So working through these huge three-dimensional images for search is quite a challenge. And the end users for this use case, we have the Vienna Medical University, the Clinic for Diagnostic Radiology, and also the University Hospitals of Geneva. So how are we going to do it? So we plan to create a very large modular search engine. So it will consist of a large number of modules which we can combine together to create for different applications. And in the middle of it all, there will be a knowledge base. And we will start feeding this knowledge base from existing taxonomies and ontologies which are already available. For example, the linked life data. But we will also then link these facts in another section of the project to articles in journals, to web pages, to Wikipedia entries, and so on. So we will search through these already published, through this already published information and link the text to the facts. There will also be a part of the project that looks at images. So here, again, taking existing image databases, for example, the archived PACS systems at the hospitals, or images which are available in journals or on the internet, and processing them and linking what's found there to the knowledge base. And the next very important part is the multilingual part. So we have a language resources, also knowledge base, and we will have a part of the project which looks at documents for which there are already texts in many languages. So, for example, there are some journals which publish abstracts in English, French, and German. There are Wikipedia pages in many languages, which might not be exact translations of each other, but which can give hints as to what fits together in the translations. And using these resources, as well as existing language resources, populate a language resource database which is aimed at the biomedical area. And of course, as I mentioned, we will have very innovative interfaces for accessing this whole system, which will be used by the end users. So the way we imagine that this would be used, so we have our end users here, and one of these end users would give a query into the system. So this query could be a mixture of text and image. If there's an image included, then the image part will be taken off to the image analysis part of the project, it will be processed and so on. The text part will go to the language resources. If the query needs to be translated, it will be translated. And this information that's been extracted from the query and from the images will be passed on for search in the knowledge base. And once the results have been found, they will be sent back to the language resources, will be translated if required. And finally, the person using the system will get a translated summary if required, as well as the information searched for and links to the documents from which this information was extracted. So if something doesn't look so correct, it would then be possible to go back to the source of this information and check that it really has been written in a journal, for example. So that is a very broad overview of how we're planning to do this. But we're not going to start from scratch. So inside our consortium, we already have partners who have contributed a lot to the development of open source software. And we're going to start from this open source software and develop it even further within the Creshmoy project. So examples of the open source software are the Gate tool for information extraction. There's the Daffodil search engine, which we will use for the user interfaces part. There is the Gift tool, which is useful for image search, and for machine translation, the Moses part. Now, focusing here on open source, as well as meaning that we don't have to start writing the whole machine from scratch, it's also good for the sustainability of the project. So much of what we develop in Creshmoy will go into these open source components and will therefore be available to the wide user community for further use after the end of the project. And as I mentioned, we have many new ideas that we want to try out. For example, the mobile search on iPhones or iPods. Now I pass back to Henning for the consortium.
So as Alan already said, we're not starting from scratch. We're a large team. So we marked the countries here on the map. We're a total of 12 partners from 9 countries, and each of the partners has a very well-defined role in the project, and each of the partners has really an importance in managing to reach the goals that we've laid out. And for example, we have two industrial partners, two companies, which is Atos Origin, one of the largest system integrators, who will help actually to build from the single components that many of the academic partners have developed as open source, a common search system that is usable and that has a sufficiently high quality. We then have OntoText, who are experts in databases, semantic technologies, and who maintains, for example, the linked life data, and who have their role in this part of the project. We have then two user groups that Alan also already mentioned. We have the Association for Physicians here, and we really hope to have their support in testing our tools and testing our software and giving us the feedback we require to build a usable system. On the other hand, we have the Health on the Net Foundation that has a long experience in information search on the internet and a large user community also. And as well in multilingual search. We then have Elda from Paris, for example, as a provider of very large resources for not only machine translation, but databases of images, of biomedical data resources. We have, for example, the radiology department here of the Medical University of Vienna, as well in one of the use cases on radiology, but also on the image processing side, because it's a strong image processing group. We have the University Duisburg-Essen as an interface specialist. Interfaces are an extremely important part of the project. We have Charles University in Prague for the automatic translation of tools. Dublin City University for multilingual retrieval. We then have the University of Sheffield as the developers of the GATE software for like semantic technology. So we have, I'm not allowed to forget anyone. We have IRF, of course, here in Vienna as one of the partners with who are specialists in information retrieval, not only in the biomedical domain, but also in patent retrieval, for example. And we have the University of Applied Sciences, Western Switzerland, so my institution. We've worked a lot on visual image retrieval. And in this case, we will also do many of the management tasks. This is just, again, a list of the different partners we have. Everything really relies on solid foundations of these partners. These are just some facts. So it's not a one-year project. It's a four-year project. So it's a fairly long project. And I think that that the influences of what we will develop in these 4 years will continue well after the project. And just a little story about what Cresmoy actually means. And so Cresmoy is when an oracle speaks. So it's the speaking of an oracle, basically. And this is Cresmoy in Greek, and it's actually pronounced Chrismi. So we will not force you to use this pronunciation, but just to have, there is some background behind the name. It's not only an abbreviation of the project. And these are the references for the text. And thank you very much for this short for listening to this short introduction, and I think then we can go to the next speaker.